Hello, this is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com. We're starting a new study today in the 51st book of Jeremiah. We'll be covering the first four verses. I'll go through the first four verses, that is, I'll read them first, and then we'll go into the introduction and begin our study. Starting at verse 1, we read, "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land, for in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow, and against him that lifts himself up in his brigandine. And spare ye not her young men, destroy you utterly all her host. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets." In these verses of Jeremiah 51, verses 1 through 4, we continue with our theme of judgment against Babylon, that is, against this world, including all the churches, ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Yahweh begins by saying that he will rouse himself up against all those who dwell in Babylon, a destroying wind. And he will send in fanners to fan Babylon to empty her land. And he will do this in the day of trouble when these fanners are against her round about. In this study, we will learn what this destroying wind is and who or what are these fanners that Yahweh uses to empty the land of Babylon. Then we read in our verse, "Against him that bends, let the archer bend his bow, and against him that lifts himself up in his brigandine. And spare not her young men, destroy utterly all her host." In this study, we will learn a better translation of this first verse, or first sentence, I should say, and what it means to not spare Babylon's young men and to completely destroy Babylon's host. Finally, we will discover just who the slain of Babylon are who fall in the land of the Chaldeans, as well as who those are that fall in her streets. Now, may our Lord bless the study to the hearts of all the listeners. Amen. Let's begin with verse 1. Verse 1 of Jeremiah 51. Let's read that once again. "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me a destroying wind." In this verse, we first read, "Thus saith the Lord." Since the word Lord is the word Yahweh, our verse can be translated like this, "Thus says Yahweh." And although we cannot be certain what the vowels are in the word Yahweh, because the vowel points were not written in the ancient text, nevertheless, we know that we have, at the least, a good approximation according to tradition and most scholars, so that we will continue to spell and pronounce the word as Yahweh. Next, our verse states, "Behold." This word, behold, is a word meant to grab our attention. It's like saying, "Tune in, pay attention, Pay attention, focus in, or look closely at what I am about to say. Then we read, I will raise up against Babylon. Literally, this reads, I rouse myself up against Babylon. That is, Yahweh rouses, or we could say stirs himself up against Babylon. And Babylon, of course, represents the kingdom of Satan, which includes this world, and now all the Christian churches around the world as well. Ever since they had all been given over to Satan, the king of Babylon, during the spiritual great tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, when Yahweh employed Satan and his wicked band of evil spirits and people to bring spiritual judgment against his own house due to their sins. Therefore, what our verse is telling us is that Yahweh rouses himself up against this world and all the so-called Christian churches worldwide. And when we say that Yahweh rouses himself against this world and against the Christian churches, we mean that he rouses himself against all the people in the world, including all the people who have remained in all the Christian churches. Hence, our verse not only states that I, that is Yahweh, rouse myself against Babylon, that is this world and all the churches, but also, as our verse continues, and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me. Yet, because the latter part of this verse, which says, that rise up against me, is not in the Hebrew text, our verse should be translated, I, that's Yahweh, rouse myself up against Babylon, that's this world and all the churches. And we already know what Yahweh roused himself up to do. He roused himself up to end any possibility of eternal salvation for anyone who was not saved by May 21, 2011. This has ensured that the billions of unsaved people in the world will soon perish on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. They will not live eternally like many of them think they will, but will be annihilated into the outer darkness of nothingness forever due to their sins. But praise Yahweh that he has saved a remnant through Jesus Christ by May 21, 2011, who will not perish, but have eternal life when on the last day they will be resurrected and changed to living in glorious new bodies fit to live eternally in the new heaven and earth, which is to be created by the transformation of this heaven and earth, which means that there will be some continuity between this heaven and earth and the next, which is why we can say that this earth is eternal, as we read in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 4. There we read, one generation passes away. Let me read that again. One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. And again, we read in Psalm 78:69, and he built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth which he hath established forever. To put it plainly, the heaven and earth in which we now dwell will be destroyed in its current form on the last day, but then transformed into its glorious new eternal form wherein the elect will abide forever. So, this earth will abide and be established forever, as the scriptures declare. Now, although we have already revealed what Yahweh roused himself up to do against Babylon and its people, namely eliminate any possibility for their eternal salvation on May 21, 2011, our verse says that I, that is Yahweh, rouse myself up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them a destroying wind. A destroying wind. So Yahweh is describing what he did by removing any possibility of eternal salvation for the peoples of this world, including all those in the churches, as a destroying wind. Obviously, this destroying wind is not a literal physical wind, but it is merely being used to symbolize Yahweh's spiritual wrath or judgment upon Babylon. There are many passages in the Bible that use the wind in this way to symbolize wrath or judgment. For instance, in Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 10 through 11, we read, Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one build up a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which dab it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and you, O great hailstones, shall fall. A stormy wind shall rend it. And when Yahweh brought his wrath upon Judah and Jerusalem due to their sins, we read in Jeremiah 22, verse 22, The wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lover shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. And again we read in Isaiah 11, verse 4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath, that's that same word translated elsewhere as wind, of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Other verses that link the wind with judgment are many. I'll just mention a few of them. Psalm 35:5, for example. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Psalm 11:6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. That's that word wind. This shall be the portion of their cup. In Psalm 1, verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Job 21:17. How often is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributes sorrows in his anger. They are stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. And one final verse, Job 4, verse 9. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath, that's that word wind, of his nostrils are they consumed. So, from all these verses, we are on firm ground to see the destroying wind that Yahweh brings against this world, including all the churches, that is Babylon, as symbolic of Yahweh's judgment or wrath. It is not a literal physical wind, but a spiritual wind that has to do with the removal of any possibility of eternal salvation for the people of this world, and all the people in all the churches ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Yes, I, that is Yahweh, rouse myself up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them, a destroying wind. Now it is worth noting that the word translated as wind is most commonly translated as spirit. So it is possible to translate our verse like this. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I rouse myself up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them, a destroying spirit. In this case, the destroying spirit would be the Holy Spirit, who not only no longer works to save people, but he works through the elect to reveal this judgment or wrath upon all the peoples of the world, including all those still in the churches. Further support for this translation is that the wind in the Bible can portray or typify the Spirit, as we read in John 3:8. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it came from and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, just as the wind blows where it wills, and you can't tell where it came from or where it is going, so is the Spirit. So we see in this verse that the wind is a type or picture of the Spirit, which adds some credence to interpreting a destroying wind in our verse as being a destroying spirit. Let's move on to verse 2. Verse 2 of Jeremiah 51. It reads, "And will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her, and shall empty her land, for in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about." Here, we first read, "And will send unto Babylon fanners." Literally, it reads, "And send unto Babylon strangers," or foreigners. That is, the people that Yahweh sends to Babylon are strangers or foreigners to the land. They come from outside Babylon. And spiritually speaking, since there are only two major kingdoms, and that is the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of Babylon, these strangers or foreigners who Yahweh sends to Babylon must be from the kingdom of heaven. And from other studies, such as Isaiah 13:17, that you can click on, we know who these strangers or foreigners from the kingdom of heaven are. They are the elect, who were typified by the Medes. We will see the Medes, who are the elect, mentioned again in verse 11. So let's get a preview of this verse. It reads, "Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon, to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple." Now, moving on, we are told that these strangers or foreigners, that is the elect, which Yahweh sends into Babylon, that is into this world, including all the churches, fan, or we could say winnow her, and shall empty her land. The idea is that Yahweh rouses himself up against Babylon, a destroying spirit, as we read in verse 1, which then works through the elect in verse 2 to fan or winnow Babylon by the declaration of judgment against her. That ever since May 21, 2011, there is no longer any possibility for anyone becoming eternally saved. The result is that these strangers or foreigners, that is the elect, through their message empty her land. And how is it that the elect through their message empty the land of Babylon? Well, because Yahweh through their message is no longer saving anyone of Babylon, including all those in the churches, they are now all certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam, which means that the land has been emptied of all people spiritually saved, or who were on a path to becoming spiritually saved. Therefore, the land of Babylon has been emptied in the sense of there no longer being anyone of the world or in the churches that is already saved or becoming saved. They are all now certain to perish. The elect, on the other hand, have fled unto their own spiritual land in Christ, So they are not in the land of Babylon either, spiritually speaking. But all the rest of the people, both in the world and in all the churches, that is Babylon, are now destined for destruction on the last day of Judgment Day, with no possibility of any of them becoming saved. The land of Babylon has indeed been emptied of all those predestined to be made spiritually alive in Christ, but filled with the spiritually dead who are certain to remain spiritually dead forever, and who are certain to physically perish on the soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Next, continuing with our verse, we are given the reason as to why the elect can fan and empty Babylon with their message of no more eternal salvation. It is because in the day of trouble, they, that is the elect, shall be against her round about. And the day of trouble, of course, is Judgment Day that we are now in ever since May 21, 2011. It is during this time that the elect are against Babylon round about, which means that we, the elect, should be gathering together all round about the world to get the message out of no more salvation. We got the message out when leading up to May 21, 2011, but now we are being called to get the message out of no more eternal salvation possible for the world, including all the churches. This is a much more challenging task than getting the gospel out, because our entire message offers no hope. Indeed, it takes away hope. Nevertheless, this is what we are called to, and we must fulfill our calling to hasten the coming of the end. Oh yes, we would like for the end to come by May 20th, 2018, and there is a possibility that that could come on that date. You can click on the link, Why May 20, 2018, to see that. But because my sense is that we have not yet even touched the surface as far as getting out the message of no more salvation to the world and churches, I sense that we could very well be here longer than May 21, 2018, to give us more time to get out the judgment message. I think the best thing that we can do is get busy with the spreading of no more salvation to all the churches and the world, and put the timing of the end in the Lord's hands completely while we keep watching. We know that the end will come relatively soon, but until then, we need to be busy spreading the sad news to Babylon, namely that God's wrath is now upon all the churches and the world. And he has removed eternal salvation from their midst. They are all now certain to perish on the soon to come last day. Moving on to verse number 3 of Jeremiah 51. Verse number 3, we read, "Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow, and against him that lifts himself up in his brigandine. And spare you not her young men, destroy you utterly all her host." In this verse, the King James Version reads, "Against him that bends, let the archer bend his bow." Unfortunately, I must disagree with this translation and translate it like this: "Let not the one that bends his bow bend," that is, bend it. That is, do not let the enemy that bends his bow to shoot bend his bow to shoot. And since the bow in the Bible is symbolic of the tongue that shoots out words like arrows, as we had learned previously in Jeremiah 50 verses 9, 29, and 42 that you can click on, then what our verse is telling us is to not let the enemy who bends his tongue to shoot out words against the truth do so. But how would we, the elect, keep the enemy that is the kingdom of Satan, Babylon, from shooting out words against the truth. Why? We would convincingly proclaim that Babylon was defeated. On May 21, 2011, when all the elect were eternally saved, when Satan was deposed from any longer ruling over the world and all the churches, and when eternal salvation came to an end. By proclaiming these things, we are letting this world, including all the churches, that is Babylon, know that there is now no way that they can be eternally saved, and so they are all certain to now perish. Yes, they have lost the battle for eternal life, so that it would now be futile for their tongues to shoot out words against the truth, because it would all be in vain. The battle is over. The battle has already been won. So the idea is, let not the one that bends his bow bend it. In other words, as we make known that the battle for eternal salvation is now over, that there is now no possibility of anyone else becoming eternally saved, we are spiritually not letting the one that bends his bow to shoot it do so. Now, not only are we to not let the one that bends his bow bend it, but we read, and against him that lifts himself up in his brigandine. A better translation of the whole first sentence is this: let not the one who bends his bow bend, nor lift himself up in his armor. That's what a brigandine is a coat of armor. And how do we let not the one that bends his bow lift himself up in his armor? Well, like before, we proclaim to Babylon, this world, including all the churches, that they were already defeated on May 21, 2011, and that there is now no eternal hope for them. Therefore, why put on your armor for battle when the battle has already been won? In this way, we are, spiritually speaking, not letting him, that is the person of Babylon, lift himself up in his armor. Next, our verse reads, and spare not you her young men. Spare ye not her young men. Which could be translated, and spare not her youth. Why would Yahweh tell us such a thing? Why would he tell us to not spare Babylon's youth? Well, by commanding us to not spare Babylon's youth, he is making it known that the youth, even the infants, do not escape the wrath of God. They too, like everyone else in Babylon and in the churches, can no longer be eternally saved. Every youth conceived and born after May 21, 2011, as well as every youth that was not saved by May 21, 2011, will now not ever be eternally saved. The judgment of Yahweh does not just come upon the adults, you see, but it comes equally upon the youth as well. But then, in conclusion, our verse reads, destroy you utterly all her host. Since the word here translated as host can be translated as army, we're being told to destroy utterly all her, that is Babylon's army. And how do we utterly destroy all Babylon's army? Why, we make known to Babylon, and Babylon, like I've said over and over, is the world, including all the churches, that eternal salvation came to an end on May 21, 2011. This now guarantees that this entire world, including all those still in the churches, that is Babylon, will be destroyed on the soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. And spiritually speaking, Babylon has already been destroyed, in that there is no longer anyone in Babylon being brought to spiritual life in Christ. They are all now certain to remain spiritually dead. So, Babylon has been utterly or completely destroyed
by the fact that they are all now certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam without any possibility of eternal life, and that they will also all now physically perish forever on the soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. Okay, we'll cover one more verse, and that's verse number 4. Verse 4 of Jeremiah 51. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets. Here we first read, thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans. Literally, it reads without the future tense by saying, thus the slain fall in the land of the Chaldeans. The slain are all those in the world and churches who were not saved by Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. They are now being spiritually slain through the announcement that any possibility for eternal salvation has ended for them. That is, every unsaved person in the world and all those who have remained in the churches against Yahweh's command to depart out are now certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam, and they will perish on the soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day. In this way, they have been slain. But then we read that the slain fall in the land of the Chaldeans. And we wonder, why does it not say they fall in the land of Babylon or the Babylonians? One reason might simply be that the terms Babylonians and Chaldeans are interchangeable because the Chaldeans were Babylonians. But the other reason is that the land of the Chaldeans specifically symbolizes all those now in the churches, as it was the Chaldeans who conquered Judah and Jerusalem in 587 BC, and they were a type or picture of all the false Christians that have now come to reside in all the churches. So, in that the slain fall in the land of the Chaldeans means that they fall in all the churches. They also fall outside the churches in Babylon as well. But here in our verse, God wants us to know certainly that they fall in all the churches. That is, the slain fall in the land of the Chaldeans. Yet, not only do the slain fall in the land of the Chaldeans, but as we read in our verse, they that are thrust through in her streets. They who are thrust through in her streets. Since the word translated as streets can be translated as outside, what we are being told is that the slain fall in the land of the Chaldeans, that is, they fall in all the churches, and they that are thrust through, that is, slain, fall in the outside of her. That is, outside of the land of the Chaldeans as well. So not only do the slain fall in all the churches, but they fall outside the churches as well. And this is because it is Judgment Day, and Yahweh's judgment of no more eternal salvation comes upon all those who are in the churches, as well as upon all those outside the churches who were not eternally saved by May 21, 2011. In conclusion, we were first told by Yahweh that he would rouse himself up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them, a destroying wind. And he would send fanners to fan this world, including all the churches, to empty them. This destroying wind, we learned, is the Spirit of God that Yahweh roused up on May 21, 2011 to bring spiritual judgment against the people of this world, including all those in the churches. That is Babylon. And the fanners are the elect through which the Spirit is, in a sense, fanned upon all the people of Babylon to bring judgment against them by making it known through the elect that eternal salvation is no longer possible. And so all the people of Babylon, that is the people of this world, including all those in the churches, are spiritually emptied from the land because there is no longer anyone in their midst who is saved or being saved spiritually alive in Christ. They are all spiritually dead, and so Babylon has been spiritually emptied. Then, we interpreted the first part of verse 3 to read, "And let not the one that bends his bow bend it, nor lift himself up in his armor." This, we learned, means that we should make it known to the world, including all the churches, that eternal salvation has ended. And there is nothing they can do about it. The battle is over, and Babylon has lost. Therefore, they might as well not bend their bows, that is their tongues, to shoot out words, that is their arrows, against it, and they might as well not put on their armor for battle, because it would all be in vain. The battle has already been won. Further, we learn that we are to not spare the youth, and we are to completely destroy all the host of Babylon. We do not spare the youth by making it known that judgment has come equally upon them, as well as upon all the others of this world and the churches. None of them can now be eternally saved. And we completely destroy all the host of Babylon by making it known to all of Babylon that they are all now under the wrath of Yahweh. Eternal salvation is no longer possible for any of them. Which not only means that they are all now already spiritually destroyed, as they are all certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam, but also that they will all be physically annihilated on the soon-to-come last day of the day of judgment that we are now in. Finally, we read, "Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets." This, we learned, means that all those slain by the message of no more eternal salvation both fall in the land of the Chaldeans, that is, in the land of the churches, and in her streets, that is, outside all the churches as well. Now, may Yahweh, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.